Would you turn your Bible to chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, please? 1 Samuel chapter 13. Last time, when we studied chapter 13, I mentioned to you about the three sins of King Saul. Do you remember what they are? Pride, impatience, and disobedience. Very good. Very good. And we are continuing the study of his sin, but at the same time, we are going to see the young man named Jonathan. He's a godly young man and opposite of his father. Somebody has a Van Dome lights on? Okay. Last 32 years, I've been working with the Lord. I learned that our God is limitless God. But he gets limited when we have unbelief, when we don't trust him with our sins. Let me say one more time. Our God is unlimited God, but we limit him with our sins and unbelief. Would you agree?
Yep.
All right, let's stop and pray. Father, again we come to your house, we come to your throne, asking us to teach us, enlighten our heart with your words that is nothing but truth and nothing but it has a complete authority in our lives. Father, we realize that we are prideful people. All of our sin comes from our pride. Father, teach us in the way that we may stay humble, we may stay teachable, always looking unto our Jesus to be guided by you. Let us be more like Jonathan, less like Saul. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 13 of chapter 13, please. Saul, Jonathan his son, the people present with them remained in Gibeah of Benjamin. Then Philistine encamped in Michmash. Then raiders came out of the camp of Philistine in the three companies. One company returned to the road of Ophrah and to the land of Sheol. Another company turned to the road of Beth Horon. And another company turned to the road of the border that overlooked the valley of Zeboim toward the wilderness. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make a sword or spears. But all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each man's plows and his mattock and his axe and his sickles. And the charge for the sharpening was a pine, and for the plowshare and the mattock and the fork and the axes, and set the point of the goads. So it came out about the day of battle, and there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but there were found Saul and Jonathan his son. And the garrison of Philistine went out to the pass of Michmash. All right, give me your interpretation, please. What do you get out of this? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, good observation. But I'm asking for interpretation. What do you get out of this paragraph we just read? Huh? You're going way ahead. Probably because you read the whole chapter, right? Yeah. Say it again. Slow down. You talk way too fast. Okay? Someone? Okay. Who else? Aline? Okay, that is a little too far out there. Yes, Manny? Uh-huh. 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 Okay. Okay, on the bondage. Getting closer, but I'm looking for a little more interpretation than just simple observation. Okay, let me put it this way. Israelis, yes, Diana? She's so quiet I can sometimes... Huh? Yes. Good interpretation, but you're running ahead because you read the whole book, whole chapter. Good. Oh, you poor thing. Yes, Pat. Okay, good. How about this? Go back to the text in verse 19 where there was no blacksmith found throughout the Israel. And the reason is because the Philistine took those people, the blacksmiths, away from the land. Correct? Think about the Ephesians chapter 6. One of the elements of the armor. What is the actual weapon? Not defensive, offensive weapon. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit, right? If you notice, the bad guy, Philistine, took capability away from, capability to produce a weapon away from them. My interpretation is, Satan would do anything to take away our offensive weapon away from us. What would that be? Word of God. He may not take this thing out from our hands in this country, but he will do anything to take our time with God away from us. What do you think about that interpretation? Make sense? All right. The Philistine had a superior military weapons and tactics, because when you look at the Philistines' lineage, they are actually from Greek people, traveled down to the Middle East. Anyway, they brought their weapons from the Greek, and they wanted to keep it that way, and by taking the blacksmiths away from the Israelis. I made the slides, but I forgot to transfer into the laptop, so you guys have to write it down. Satan does not want us to have a full armor of God. And the weapon against him, full armor of God and the weapon against him. He will do anything to take away the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, from us. I'm not saying that Satan will take away a literal Bible now. What I'm saying is that he does his best to take away the time we spend in the Word of God with any kind of distraction such as TV, newspaper, computer, car, even our family members. We must guard our time with God and His Word as the first priority in our lives. We must guard our time with God and His Word as our first priority in our lives. Other people have a different time to have their devotion. I prefer it all in the morning. The first thing I do is reading the Word of God, have my own devotion. That's just me. Because if I do it later, I will fall asleep. And when I pray, sometimes I have to pray out loud. Otherwise, my mind goes way out in yonder. All right, let's go down to verse 1 of chapter 14. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to young men who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father, note that please. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, and son of Phinehas, and the son of Eli, and Lo's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. But the people did not know that Jonathan was gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and sharp rock on the other side. The name of one was Bozez, not that, and the name of the other, Chenez. The front of one faced northward opposite Michmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. Okay, what do you see here? Interpretation, please. No. What do you see? Okay. How do you know? Good. Okay. Another thing that I'm going to show you is where King Saul is sitting. Okay. Away from the battle line. These Israelis were vastly outnumbered and having inferior weapons in comparison with the Philistines. Yet Jonathan, bold enough to go over the Philistine garrison just to see what the Lord might do, exactly as the past said. He considered that there's no way God would forsake Israel, because he believed what God promised to their ancestor, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. And I'm sure in somewhere down the line, and he remembered that Israel is the apple of his eyes. There are only two people, only one had a weapon, sword. And the other sword in the entire army is with the daddy, under the tree, exactly. In other words, this is they are pretty much having a billy club and a sword. That's the only weapon these two guys have. It's not a good odd, am I correct? But God is bigger than any odd that we can think of. How about Moses, great Exodus from Egypt? What did these 2 million people had in comparison to the Egyptian army that had a chariot and horsemen? Yeah, they had God, and they had a far worse odd, but yet God demolished the entire Egyptian army. How about Joshua, as they march around Jericho? How about Gideon, 30,000 versus 300? And what did they use the weapons? No, they just simply obeyed the Lord. How about Samson? At the last moment, he killed more people than he entire his career. So odd is not the issue with God, is it? So simply, Jonathan, trust the Lord. A lot of times, we don't. That's the reason why we fret. That's the reason why we encounter the fear. Armor bearer in the ancient time was the kind brave and loyal to its master. I really don't know how they worked. I guess the armor bearer is the one who carrying the shield in front of the guy. I really don't know how that works. I learned some martial art in blocking. You have to have your own shield, otherwise it doesn't work, in my opinion. But where is his daddy? Jonathan's daddy, Saul. Big, tall, and handsome king, sitting under the pomegranate tree, away from the battle line, in Israel. Pomegranate represent victory. Okay? Pomegranate represent victory. The description, one of the descriptions in the temple, Solomon's temple, there's a lot of portion where it said a pomegranate was engraved into the door. Any of you guys remember? If you read that boring portion of the description of the temple, you will remember pomegranate. It represents victory. So in Saul's mind, he doesn't even have enough weapon for his army. This is the army without weapons. Yet he's sitting under the tree as if he already have won the battle. He's living in fantasy. And another thing did you notice? No one knew. No one knew that Jonathan went to the front line. If Jonathan was like his daddy, who was looking for the recognition, he would tell somebody, right? I'm going to the front line all by myself with my body armor bearer. You guys stay here. He would say that kind of thing. He didn't. He was not looking for recognition. He's not looking for anything other than, I'm going to trust God, see what happened. All right. I asked you to note the two words, Bozez and Sene. Sene means pointed rock. Pointed rock. And Bozez means slippery. 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 In other words, they have slippery rocks and sharp rocks. That's where he's supposed to climb up. It was not a good place to fight. If you've been in the military, you know this. When you are in the position, in an elevated position, it's a lot easier to defend from that position than one who's climbing up. Yeah. Go down to verse 6, please. Then Jonathan said to young men who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of this uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrained the Lord from the saving by many or by few." So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to this man. We will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place, not go up to them. But if they say to us, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand. And this will be the sign to us." For both of them showed themselves to the garrison of Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they are hidden. They have hidden." Then the man of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you something." Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Then come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan. As he came after him, armor bearer killed them. That the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of the land. And there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled. The earthquake, so that it was a very great trembling. Stop there, please. All right. What kinds of interpretation are you getting from this paragraph? What do you get? Okay, observation. Interpretation, please. Okay. Okay, good observation. Interpretation. Come on, bring it up. Pull more. Trusting God. Good. Mike, let God fight your battle. Okay. Manny. Good. James. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, Al. Hold on. Al. Okay. Jim. With God, nothing is impossible. That's all good. Do what God put in our heart, okay? I saw somebody's hand here this side. Yes. Good. Okay. Did God tell Jonathan the entire plan? What did he only saw the one portion, right? Small portion. God didn't give the entire plan, did he? God will not show what he's going to do with us, but he will give us a first step for us to take. Yes. For Jonathan, this is more than the recon expedition. This is pretty much conquest studying. He wanted to see what God would do through the two men who would trust him and step out boldly, as many of you came up with the interpretation. Jonathan knew God want to use someone, and he want to be that person to be used by God. Something had to be done because his daddy was sitting under the tree, eating bonbon, doing nothing. Jonathan was willing to be used by God. Many Christians would say, and agree that God can do all things except their situation, right? And do they actually believe that applies to them? Some people, let me put it this way. Some people are big godder, G-O-D-D-E-R-S. And you're thinking, is there such a word like that? No, I just made it up. And some people, the other people are small godders. People with a big, big godders, they trust and believe that God will actually do everything. People with the small godders, who are small godders or the little godders, they believe that God can do all things except their situation. A person with a complete trust in God, there's a note for you, a person with a complete trust in God believe is a big Godder. Person who believes God can handle all things except their situation are the small Godders. God can handle, God cannot and will not do his work to small Godders. God cannot and will not do his work to small Godders as he would do to big Godders. Jonathan was the big Godder and had a big God to trust. Does that remind you another incident from the Book of Gospels? Do you remember any incident that this kind of thing happened when the Jesus was ministering to the people on earth? He went to Nazareth, and they were saying, isn't this the guy we know, his parents, his kids, his kid brothers? Yeah, just Carpenter's son. Go to Matthew chapter 13, please. Keep your finger in the first Samuel. Go to chapter 13 of Matthew. Verse 57. Am I that boring? Somebody's yawning. 13:57. So they were offended at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, in his own house. Now, he did not do many mighty works because of their They were the small Godders. Remember some beggars or lepers or blind? Jesus asked them, do you think I can heal you? He said, yes, my Lord, you can. Your faith has healed you, Jesus said. Okay, let's go back to 1 Samuel. Jonathan's armor bearer said, Jonathan said, we will go up. And when Jonathan's armor bearer said, was this we, white man? Just thought about it. Huh? Yeah. Almost always, there's another portion and note. Almost always, when God uses a man, he calls others around that man to support and help him. They are just important in getting God's work done as the man God calls. If you cannot be a Jonathan, then find the Jonathan. Attach yourself to him as like Jonathan, armor bearers. Attach yourself. Make sense? You know, I cannot do anything in our church. My main thing is a pray and teaching. I have a great people that come alongside of me to help me. I cannot run this church. There's no way in the world. Many of you are those people. You chose to attach yourself to me so you can work with me for the kingdom of God. Thank you. All right, back to the story of the Jonathan. In his step of faith, Jonathan wanted to know if he really being led by God. Jonathan was showing wisdom, not unbelief. So that's why he said, we're going to ask for a sign. If they tell us to come up here, we will go up. God is with us. Is that the same thing as a Gideon? Fleecing? Is it? Yes, no. And you're thinking, I'm not going to answer that. It sounds like a trap question. Hold on. Say it again.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. Okay, Mikey. Okay. Both of you are right. Jonathan asks for confirmation. He doesn't want to run ahead of God. Gideon asks with a doubt in his heart. He had a fear and he had a doubt in his heart. Yes. When you do that, your mind is already going forward. You are trying to follow God. Gideon was not. He was doing it with a doubt. Yeah, I'm answering your question. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Another thing is, I will say it in the later time, if we believe that God is telling us to do certain things and we are heading that direction but we went into the wrong direction, We believe in God and going into, he wants us to go this way and then we're going this way. Our God is big enough to correct us. Yeah, that's why he had to be knocked down from the high horse, literally. Yeah. I get it. We're going to talk more about it. This is, Yes. Yeah, they were not saying, if they say they're going to come down, we're going to hightail out here. He said we will stand here. He's already ready to fight. Exactly. What I just ask you, is it not the same as Gideon setting up the fleece in Judges 6:36-40? Gideon had a confirmed word of God to guide him, but he doubted God's word. Jonathan was not doubting God's word. He was doubting his own mind and heart. So Jonathan was prompted by faith. Significantly, he does not demand how the whole battle plan from God in advance. He is willing to take one step at a time. Let God plan it out. Folks, listen carefully. Faith is willing to follow God without knowing the whole plan and being shown our part one step at a time. Let me say one more time. Faith is willing to follow God without knowing whole plan, being shown our part one step at a time. You get it? So Jonathan was prompted by faith. Significantly, he does not demand to know the whole plan. That's great. How exciting that moment must have been when he heard, come up here. He's thinking, oh yeah, we are coming. Remember, it's the Bozez and Shanae, slippery, sharp rocks. It was hard, difficult climb. Jonathan was not kind to say, well, it would be nice to do this, but these rocks are steep and slippery. There are too many Philistines up there. Let's pray instead. Let God do it. No, he didn't do that. Jonathan got down on hands and knees to climb up. And if we only want victory and want to be used by God, when it's easy, we won't see much victory. We won't be used very much. You get that? If we only want victory or want to be used by God when it is easy, we won't see much victory and we won't be used by him very much. There are times while we trust God, there will be a time it's very difficult. Doubt will pop up. Okay, let me ask you point blank question. I expect you to be honest. Not because remember, you are in church, right? You cannot say anything dishonest thing. Have you ever doubted after you became a Christian? Okay. I do too. Is it not in the Word of God? Oh yeah, it's in the Word of God. Do I not teach the Word of God? Yes, I do teach the Word of God, but the doubt still slip in. Hold on. What about doubting Thomas? God met him. Jesus met him where he was. He was not chastising doubting, but he chastised us unbelief. Jonathan and his armor bearer had done their part. Now God was doing his part. Often we wait around for God to do what we can do. But God will do miracles, what he alone can do, if we will do what we can do. Let me say one more time. Jonathan and his armor bearer had done their part. Now God is doing his part. Often we wait around for God to do what we can do. But God will do miracles, what he alone can do, if we will do what we can do. Amen? Remember the incident when the Egyptian army was hot after the Hebrews who just escaped from Egypt? They were at the Red Sea. Red Sea in the front, is Egyptian army in the back. And 2 million people crying out to Moses. And Moses turned around to tell him, God will do something. And he turned around, he cried out to God. I'm paraphrasing. He said, why are you crying out to me? lift up your hands. Could God divide the Red Sea without Moses lifting his hands? Did he have to use Moses lifting his hand? That's what God expects Moses to do his part in faith. And then God does his part dividing the sea. I'm sure it was a whole lot better than Ten Commandments movie. Okay, verse 16. I'm sorry, James, what were you going to say? Yep, good. Very good. Verse 16. Now the watchmen of the Saul in Gibeah, Benjamin looked, and there was a multitude melting away. They went here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, "Now call the roll and see who has gone from us." And when they had called the rolls, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God here." For at that time the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Now it happened, while the Saul talked to the priest, the noise which was in the camp of Philistine continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to battle. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor. And there was a very great confusion. Stop there and give me an interpretation, please. What do you see here? Not observation, interpretation. Huh? Okay. I want you to look at the bigger picture. What is Saul doing? Why is he calling for the roll call? Why is he making a roll call? No, that's a Philistine. At the distance. They are running away from the Philistine camp. Yes. He want to know. Instead of running down to the battle line, he want to know who is taking all this credit. Yeah, who is fighting down there without me? Another thing that we should notice, he is asking for the ark of God. There are time to pray. But there are time to fight. There are time to work. All right. It's a good thing to, you note, it's a good thing to ask this ourselves from time to time. Am I hungry for attention? Am I craving for success? Am I longing for acknowledgement? We need to be aware of our weaknesses. We should bring them to God before the Satan brings them to us. Amen? Let me say, weaknesses. W-E-A-K-nesses, weaknesses. It is a good thing to ask ourselves from time to time, am I hungry for attention, craving for success, and longing for acknowledgement? We need to be aware of our weaknesses. We should bring them to God before the Satan bring them to us. You know, let me say this. If my child, let's say Jonathan, is in the middle of battlefield. If I find out that my child is in the battlefield, just him and the armor bearer against all these Philistines, would I do the praying or would I run out the door and start to fight for him? Yeah. He really don't want to fight. Yeah, he just want to get the victory. Credit. Go down to verse 21, please. Moreover, Hebrews who were with the Philistine before that time, these are the Tonkots, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding countries, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who were hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard the Philistine fled, they also followed hard after them in the battle. The Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to the Beth-Evan. These people who AWOL'd and turned themselves to Philistine, now they are joining the winning team, right? That reminds me some of all these things, speaking of a winning team. Whenever we have the Super Bowl game done, all of a sudden, I see the bumper stickers and the decals on the window, winning team decals. I've never seen them before. Now all of a sudden I see them everywhere. Yeah. Like a Philadelphia Eagles. They were losing team. And after their victory in the Super Bowl, all of a sudden you see the Philadelphia Eagles everywhere. Or New Orleans Saints. They were the bottom of the list. Yeah. The New Orleans Saints. And they were not a good team. And one time they won the Super Bowl, all of a sudden you see the Saints logo everywhere. Typical, right? These are the same kind of people who join God's side when they need something. When the time is hard, they bug out. I call them fair weather followers. All right, applications. Give me applications, please. Rams? Yeah, all of a sudden they're a bunch of Rams. Okay. Remember, that when you before you guys come, not only you bring the, your own interpretation, I expect you to bring your own applications. Okay? All right. Who else has an application for me? Good? Who else? Good? In what way? Within what we just studied.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm looking for that. Exactly. Good. What else? Bill, don't bother Diana. Good. According to his will. Who else? What's this Kenny Rogers song?
Yeah.
No one to hold and no one to fold. Okay. Here are my applications, four of them. Satan wants to take away our sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, from us. In what way? Distracting us. Taking time away from us, right? So he wants to take away the sword of Spirit, the Word of God from us. Second application, we need to take a step of faith to find out the will of God. If we are wrong, our God can correct us. We must take a first step. Third application, it is very important to take a step of faith, and it is also important to ask the Lord for his guidance and permission. Permission. P-E-R-M-I-S-S-I-O-N. Guidance and permission. The last application. Don't kick the door open when the Lord is not opening it. We need to learn a beautiful balance in taking a step of faith, yet careful to listen to find his will and his way for our lives. Amen? How do we know that the Lord is not opening the door? And sometimes when you try to do something, have you ever felt this way? When you try to do something because you want it so bad, but there is a lingering heart portion in your heart. Yeah. Listen to that Holy Spirit. Okay? He's tapping your spiritual breastbone and saying, don't do it. If you are uneasy, don't do it. It doesn't matter how many times the people around you tell you, if you don't do this, you're going to lose a chance. You know, whenever I face that kind of thing for the church decision, I said, no. If God wants me to have it, even if I wait, I'll have it. If God doesn't want me to have it, I don't want it. Even if it's most attractive thing. You follow? Alright, let's stand up and pray. Sorry for not doing my part, bring the slides. It's a good thing because none of you guys fell asleep. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Teach us to hear you, your still small voice. Though you may not write your command on the sky, you speak to us through Holy Spirit. Through your word. Father, we are asking you to guide us with your strong, righteous right arm that we may honor you with our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name.